This is my final show here on Community Conversations for 2022. So thanks for being a loyal listener if you're someone who's listened throughout the year. And if you're a first-time listener, well, it's never too late to join us. Wonderful to have your company this morning. What do you know about op shops? Well, I want to share a quote with you. This was from Anna Hillgrass, and it says, "I love older things that people have used and cherished. They have personality, character, and soul." Sounds like op shop sort of a quote, doesn't it? Well, this morning, everything you ever wanted to know about op shops, past, present, and maybe future. There's lots of things happening around op shops. And, of course, with COVID and online shopping and all of that, the face of op shops has certainly changed and will continue to change, I'm sure, going forward. The history, it's rather interesting. 1890s, of course, there was the Salvation Army started with waste paper and recycling waste paper and making a bit of money, and that was one of the first social initiatives. But the actual op shop, the term op shop, started in the 1920s when Lady Molly Tallis, who was a Melbourne socialite, decided that the term thrift shop, or other names as it was known, well, it had a bit of a stigma, and so she came up with the term op shop. And I was just debating off air whether op shop has two P's or one P, and Kath Ganaway, who knows a little bit about op shops, is in the studio here this morning, and I think we agreed, Kath, that op shop, well, it doesn't really matter whether it has one P or two. They're pretty important things in the community, aren't they?
They are, Bruce, and basically it's the opportunity, that's what it is. So it presents a lot of opportunities for people to recycle their own belongings, to buy in an affordable way, but also to provide money back into communities. And the four community-owned op shops that we've got in our area, in Yarra Glen and Healesville, are amazing. And I don't think you could estimate, or I don't think anyone knows how much money they've put back into community.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing, Kath. Listeners, let me introduce my panel, because we don't just have Kath Ganaway here in the studio, but we have a panel of op shop people. Christine, you're here with the Lion's Den, representing the Lion's Den. Wonderful to have you with us this morning. And you've been a volunteer for the Lion's Den for several years, and we'll hear more about that in a moment, because you've got a big move happening as well. And sitting next to you is Shona, representing the Healesville Living and Learning Centre op shop, formerly known as the East End op shop, I think, along the way. But wonderful to have a conversation this morning as we lead up to Christmas about the value, as Kath has just said, the value of op shops to our community, to individuals who shop there, but the flow-on effect in terms of grants and community awareness and so on is just absolutely amazing. And we are fortunate, as Kath has just said, to have a number of op shops. Listeners, stay with us, because we're going to come back and answer every question you've ever wanted to know about op shops. Let's have a listen to Elton John with Crocodile Rock.
Had a no-go chamber and a fist of my own, but the biggest kick I ever got
and you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations, our final program for 2022. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're talking op shops today, and I have a very special group here in the studio, and one of those people is Shona Rimmer, who is the Community Development Coordinator at the Healesville Living and Learning Centre, and that means the op shop as well, Shona.
It does. We actually have an op shop manager as well, Tracy Jackway, who does a fabulous job. We're very lucky to have her. And she helps manage all the volunteers down there.
Big job.
It is a huge job, yeah. And she does it very well. And
that op shop's been going for a long time.
A really long time, yeah. I'm not even sure how long.
No, I should have done a bit more homework and found out. It used to be
so
known as the East End op shop, but
yes,
it's been a favourite for locals for a long, long time. How did you get involved, Shona? I mean, you know, how long and what's your history with the op shop?
I've used the op shop as a customer for a lot of years.
Yes, as so have I should, I'm proudly say.
Having had young children, particularly when it comes to school uniform. So they're a great resource for secondhand school uniform. And this time of the year is the time for that.
Sure is.
When everybody's clearing out and getting ready for next year. So keep your eyes open down there.
You've got a whole team of volunteers, a huge group of volunteers. Tell us about that.
The volunteers are a great bunch of people, and some of them may only do one shift a week. Others may do a couple of shifts a week, but they're great in supporting each other in that as well and can shuffle around if they need to and all that sort of thing.
So you're not signing up if you are a potential volunteer listening this morning. You're not signing up for the whole week or anything. It might just be a couple of hours a week or something, Shona.
It can just be a couple of hours a week. We'd love to open more on weekends. So if anyone would be interested in volunteering on weekends, that would be wonderful. That's where we struggle to get some volunteers. But through the week we're open and, It's really the volunteers that work there really love it.
Yeah,
they love meeting all the people that come through. They love stacking everything and making it look lovely. They've made a real effort in the last couple of years to really overhaul the look of the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing
loved items go to good homes, I guess, as they go out the door.
Absolutely. And yeah, they're amazed sometimes at what people will come in and buy. So something will come in and they think, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do with that? Or what even is that? And then the next person that comes through the door will say, oh, my God, that is
just what I've been looking for.
Yeah. So, I think they had 100 port glasses come in about a week or two ago. And they thought, oh, my gosh, who's going to buy 100 port glasses? And the next person that came in the door bought the lot. So that was, we hear stories like that all the time.
Yeah, that is.
It's really lovely.
That is fantastic. Sitting next to you is Christine. Christine, you've been involved at the Lion's Den for how many years?
Oh, it's about 8 years now, I think, yes.
Yeah. And you're one of the team of volunteers.
I am one of the team, yes, I am, yeah. A great team. I just love being involved with it. So much fun we have, lots of laughing and, good times, coffee, cake, everything that goes along with that. And we certainly do a lot of work in the middle of all that, but, it's really fun.
Mm. I was doing a little bit of research and found that there's 2,500 op shops round about in Australia, 2,500, that's amazing, with about 76,000 volunteers. That I did my maths. I used to be a maths teacher, and that works out about 30 volunteers on average per op shop.
Wow.
And some would have more and some would have less. But without volunteers, Christine,
yes,
they don't work, do they?
No, they don't. The volunteers are very important, and it's a great way to actually learn about relationship with people who have vastly different ways of looking at things. So we create a community of inclusivity. And if that's the word.
Yeah, sure is. It sure
and,
is.
That's really been a great way to find ourselves growing, in how we look and react with people and all that. So that's a really big thing. I love that.
The Lion's Den has been proudly in the main street of Healesville for nearly 30 years.
That's right, yes.
Actually,
more than 30.
Is it more than 30? I'm selling you short.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think somebody said 34. Elaine may have said 34. Perhaps.
Yes, and good morning, Elaine, if you're listening this morning. And, of course, you're in the process of moving, or you've just moved, just sort of reopening down in Hunter Street.
That's
and there's a grand opening coming up.
Yeah, it's not Hunter Street, though. It's Lilydale Road.
That's right.
Don't give them the wrong address.
My faux pas.
Yes, we have. We've been open there since the 1st of November, I think. And people are finding us now, and we'd really love it if you spread the word a bit more, because it's really hard to get it out to people, and they'll turn up at the app where we were and find us not there. So it would be great if the word got spread.
We will absolutely do that, Christine. And yes, that's a great location, and you've got a wonderful setup down there. I've had a look at it. It's absolutely amazing. So if you've been a Lion's Den customer/visitor before and you haven't been to their new location, get down there to Lilydale Road and make sure you check them out. Is that open most days, Christine?
At the moment, and we are reviewing the hours. We're trying the weekends and things like that. So it's open Wednesday to Sunday, but actually our last day is next Wednesday until the new year. But we are looking at that again, and of course, depending on how it works, we hope to be open more hours as time goes on.
Yes, fantastic. You've both recently been involved, and certainly you have, Kath, in a couple of tours, op shop tours recently. And listeners, we're going to have a break for a song, and then we're going to come back and hear, what does an op shop tour look like? That sounds rather intriguing. Maybe I missed out on something, and maybe there'll be some more. So let's have a listen to Angry Anderson, Christmas Day.
When the winter wind is blowing, and I'm far away from home, when Christmas time is coming, and I'm feeling all alone, I dream of Margaret River on a summer's day. It's so beautiful, Byron Bay, Sydney Harbor and Adelaide. And a warm wind's blowing on a Whitsunday way, on a walkabout, our broken hill way. Christmas Day, Australia way. It's Christmas Day, Australia way. Tassie Island and Alice Springs, for the Sunshine Coast where the kookaburra sings. Gone to Darwin on a red dusty road, and the Dreamtime Desert is calling me home. When the free metal doctor blows Scarborough away, like another day of snow and ice and rain. a summer's day. It's so beautiful at Byron Bay, Sydney Harbour and Adelaide. And a warm wind's blowing on a wet Sunday wave. On a walkabout, our broken hill way. It's Christmas Day.
And you're with Bruce Argyle. It's, wow, it's warming up. It's 14 degrees here in the studio, heading for a maximum of 16 today on the 15th of December. Wow, 10 days till Christmas. Almost sounds like a song, doesn't it, or something. Look, this is our final show for 2022, so thanks for joining us. And we're talking op shops. I've always wanted to have a program talking about op shops. And today we have a panel of people, Shona, Christine and Kath. And Kath, among other things, it's pretty amazing, but you did a couple of op shop tours. I can't believe that. What was the idea behind an op shop tour?
Bruce, the Living and Learning Centre has been toying with the idea for quite a while. And when Yarra Rangers Council had their recovery funding for the Yarra Valley, which incorporated Yarra Glen, Gruya and Healesville, it was the opportunity to do that, if you'll pardon the pun. So I just volunteered to do the legwork, basically, because it did take quite a bit to get together. And there was the issue then of where would you go? Because you running an op shop tour for Healesvillians in Healesville probably wasn't going to work. So we wanted to find op shops and encourage people to get out and about, which was part of the criteria for the funding. Connection, getting out after the lockdowns and all that sort of thing.
How many did you go? How many op shops did you go to, Kev?
We went to 3 on each tour.
Great.
And the criteria for those was that they were community run or they had a sustainability model. So one of them was Habitat for Humanity in Kilsyth.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was the what we call the tip shop.
Well, the treasure chest.
It's the treasure chest.
yep.
Which is the
Coldstream.
Where's Coldstream tip? Mm. So that was fabulous. The others were in Mombog, Wandon, Muralbark and Mount Evelyn, and they're community run up shops, so the funding goes back to the community. The tricky part was to also not forget our local op shops, so the Yarra Glen Combined Churches, Living and Learning Centre, Lion's Den and the Salvation Army. So with the funding we purchased 40 $10 vouchers, which those op shops then put in to recompense them. So they got paid for those, and that also then encouraged, and we put this message out to the participants, get the voucher, go and visit your local op shop. And
jump on the bus.
Well, no, not on the bus, but to go come back from your tours.
Oh, sorry.
The wide world.
Fantastic.
And then take your voucher to the op shop. So they benefited and didn't lose on the deal. That was really important to us. We also produced a little booklet, a little leaflet, which is pocket size, promoting the 4 shops in our local area and what they do, and also asking, you know, if you can volunteer. That's the that's the crux of it all, really, to have enough volunteers to open these shops and do all the work. But the op shop tours themselves, there were 20 people on each bus. There was a great diversity. We had one young woman, or a few young women, but mostly families. We made it school hours so we could get some parents to come along if they wanted to. Mackenzie's gave us a fabulous price on the buses, because we were able to slot it on with school hours. Brendan, the driver, was exceptional. He is an expert at parking, you'll be surprised to hear. But a lot of the comments came around just being together, the chatter on the bus. One lady said it was her first outing in 40 years.
Wow.
And she just chatted the whole time. The funding enabled us to get lunch provided. So we supported a Mombog cafe up that way, and then we went through Tasty As, which
yes.
I'm sure Bruce knows is a
A social enterprise?
A social enterprise, in Mount Evelyn.
Yes.
Mount Evelyn Neighbourhood House.
And shout out to you, Julianne, if you happen to be listening this morning at Tasty As. Yeah. Great organisation.
She was amazing. It was really wonderful. The Neighbourhood House, which connects with that, also provides us the space and a huge table. So it was a real collaborative thing to do.
What sort of feedback did you get from people, from, you know, the 20 on each? Any interesting feedback from people, Kath?
I think the feedback basically was that, well, a lot of them hadn't been... One woman had never been to Monbulk. So a lot of them spoke about just the journey, being driven up through the countryside. Our bus driver took us on some obscure roads, even around the areas like Ruya and that sort of thing. So that was the journey was part of it, getting out and about, but also just exploring. And there was a lot of Kris Kringle buying on the day, enjoying lunch.
Mm. You were saying off air, Kath, about one particular woman who had probably never been in an op shop before.
Yeah, there were a couple who had never been to an op shop and were surprised at just the variety, the prices, what you can actually save by shopping in an op shop. So, and the big message, I guess, was you're not going to find everything you want in an op shop, but go there first. Make it your first port of call and help the economy, your local economy, but also the sustainability of it, you know, at a time when clothing is so cheap and mass produced.
Yes, no, fantastic.
Yeah.
Listeners, we're going to have a music break and then we're going to come back and I'm going to ask Christine and Shona just what happens with the money that's generated from these op shops. I mean, where does it go in particular? What sorts of programs? Because you, as a customer, as someone who, Kath's saying, might walk into an op shop to support it, you are actually contributing to those grants. So let's find out where the money goes. But let's have a listen to Earth, Wind and Fire.
I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all around, but none of them wanna get with me. My threads are fresh and I'm looking deaf. Yo, what's up, what a L.O.C.? The girls was all jocking at the other end of the bar, having drinks with some no-name chump when they know that I'm the star. So I got up and strolled over to the other side of the cantina. I asked the guy, why are you so fly? He said, Funky Comadina.
secret on how to get more chicks. Put a little Medina in your glass and the girls will come real quick. It's better than any alcohol or aphrodisiac. A couple of sips of this love potion and she'll be on your lap. So I gave some to my dog when he began to beg. And then he licked his bowl and he looked at me and did a wild thing on my leg. He used to scratch and bite me before he was much, much meaner. But now all the poodles run to my house for the funky Comadina. You know what I'm saying? I got every dog in my neighborhood breaking down my door. I got Spuds and Kenzie, Alex from Strohs. They won't leave my dog alone with that Medina, pal. I went up to this girl. She said, hi, my name is Sheena. I thought she'd be good to go with a little funky cold Medina. She said, I'd like a drink. I said, okay, I'll go get it. And then a couple of sips, she go lick the lips, and I knew that she was with it. So I took her to my crib, and everything went well as planned. But when she got undressed, it was a big old mess. Sheena was a man. So I threw her out. I don't fool around with no Oscar Mayer wiener. You must be sure that your girl is pure for the funky cold Medina. You know, ain't no plans with a man. It's the 80s and I'm down with the ladies, you know? Break it down. As a contestant on the love connection. The audience gets voted, and you know, they picked a winner. I took my date to the Hilton for Medina and some dinner. She had a few drinks, I'm thinking soon what I'll be getting. It said she started talking about plans for a wedding. I said, wait, slow down, love, not so fast, I'll be seeing ya. That's why I found you don't play around with the funky cold Medina. You know what I'm saying? That Medina's a monster, y'all. Thank you, old Medina.
Now let into heart the men who need
And that was Earth, Wind and Fire with a little technical glitch beforehand, but we don't worry about that. We love challenges at this time of the year, don't we? And, of course, Op Shops, my very special guests here in the studio, Kath, Christine and Shona. We're talking, well, everything you ever wanted to know about Op Shops and where does the money go? We're going to answer that question in a moment. But just read a paragraph here on the research I did on Op Shops. Relied on as a source of recurring fashion for over 100 years, the humble Aussie Op Shop, as it's lovingly referred to, has been a well-known institution since its early inception. The epitome of social enterprise, Op Shops trade to intentionally track social problems and improve communities, working to provide clothing, furniture and household goods to those who can't afford it, or maybe even those who can, while raising greatly needed community funds. So, community funds. Christine, where does the money from the Lion's Den Op Shop, where does it go? I sort of know the answer to that, but tell our listeners, where does that money go?
Oh, look, I've been looking into this a bit because it really interested me. I found out that when you just even walk down the main street of Healesville, that beautiful clock, that's a Lions Club project. I think it may have been done in with the council on that one. But the two covers over the lights, over the traffic lights there, both of those that keep you nice and dry. There's countless things in Coronation Park.
Including the little footbridge that enables you to get across from Beechworth Bakery into the park. That was a Lions Club and council combined initiative. As well. Yes, sorry, Christine, go on.
No, that's fine. I wasn't aware of that one, but there is another bridge in Coronation Park that was one of those. And we've got the beautiful totem poles there which describe the history, lots of seats and barbecues, replanting after floods a long time ago. I think the community gardens was a project.
Yes, yes.
And then there's all the other people who actually ask for help, schools, Hickey. I'm just trying to think what else.
Well, I know there's the Healesville High School Awards Night. That's tonight. Thursday night. Yes, it is tonight. Yes, tonight because yeah. I know you've sponsored a scholarship there tonight too. So there you go.
Enough. I'm probably not the best one to ask that because I'm actually not a Lions member. I'm only a volunteer. So
don't ever say only a volunteer.
I'm a volunteer.
No, that's terrific.
But I do know that the support and the money goes so many different places. It would be, you'd be amazed. And yes. We're really looking forward, after having the hiatus of 2 years, next year to be able to come out again.
It'll be like a
grand opening of help again. And I'm sure there's many projects at Lions have in their mind, and there will be people coming forward and the whole wheels will start to turn again, and it'll be just a great thing to know that we'll be able to step back into what we were doing for a long time.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned the word grand opening, so I have to give a plug for the grand opening of the Lion's Den in its new location in Lilydale Road. It's going to be at 3 p.m. on the 3rd of the 3rd, so 333, there you go, of 2023. Is a date for your diary. It's open to anybody, and we'll have a cake and a cutting of the ribbon and all of that on the 3rd of March.
That'll be great.
That's fantastic. Christine, thank you so much just for giving us a little taster of where some of that community funds go to. Shona, the Healesville Living and Learning Centre Op Shop in the east end of Healesville, you've given away lots and lots and lots of grants to the community over the years too. What sort of things, where does the money go from that Op Shop?
Most of the money comes back to the Living and Learning Centre. So it helps to fund what we do there every day. And
which is lots of community programs.
It is lots of community programs. So I'll just give us a plug too. So
yeah, please.
Coming up for the next year... We're starting the year with Social Justice Day in February in terms of the community development projects. And we're seeking people to be involved in that and people and groups who represent social justice initiatives.
Great.
We've got International Women's Day in March. World Autism Awareness Day in April and Ida Hobbit Day in May.
Fantastic.
So that's the first.
What's the Social Justice Day in Feb?
Social Justice Day, we had a similar day this February or March called Inclusion Day. This year we've aligned it with Social Justice Day. So it's an opportunity for all the different organisations who practice and represent social justice to come together and for people to celebrate what they do, but also to find out what they do, because a lot of those groups are often looking for volunteers as well. So celebrating all that we do for social justice. We're very lucky to have the freedom to practice justice here. And so to give everyone the opportunity to really explore what social justice is and what it covers and,
So would it be, is it going too far to say that every time you go into an op shop, whether it's a Lion's Den or a Hillsville Living Learning Centre op shop or whether it's a Treasure Chest or wherever it is, Kath, that you are supporting community, really community strengthening, building capacity, whether it's through the Hillsville Living Learning Centre, whether it's through the community grants or whatever, you are contributing to that.
Yeah, that's true, Bruce. And one of my favourites as well is the Yarra Glen op shop, which is the combined churches op shop, and it is the epitome of what churches do in the community, which is giving back. So they do an amazing job over there as well. They have a great team of volunteers.
Yes, well done, Sally, and all of you over there, if you're listening this morning.
Yeah, they do a great job. And I guess one of the things in talking to Sally was to say as well that this is now the time when people will be clearing out. One of the problems that op shops share is people getting rid of stuff which is not saleable, and they then have to account for that. So they have really good strategies so that very little gets put in land care, obviously. They have connections. I know Hillsville does have connections with organisations which take some of this excess product. But really it's down to the donator to make sure that when they donate, and that was one of the messages that Sally wanted to get across, I guess. They love donations, they need donations, but they do need to be saleable. You don't want to walk into an op shop. And it's one of the things that's changed the image of op shops, is that the volunteers and the people that run them now take such a lot of care in presenting a good, clean, saleable product. So that's where people no longer have to cringe as they walk through.
Yeah, so it's not a dumping site.
It's not a dumping site. So, all the op shops do a fantastic job, I think, and, of course, provide unlimited entertainment for people like me.
We highlighted at the beginning of this program the incredible value of volunteers, and without volunteers, that they just don't work. Shona, you highlighted the fact that people can volunteer for a couple of hours a week or for more than that. And if you had more volunteers, you'd be able to open more hours and so on. Talk to us a little bit about, how would I become a volunteer at an op shop?
It's really easy. You just ring our office, 5962-5982, and ask anyone that answers the phone that you wanted to be a volunteer at our op shop, and they can take you on a tour and show you how it all works and see if that works for you.
And you can be a bit flexible in terms of your hours. You could say, I could do a Wednesday morning or a Saturday afternoon or something.
Yep. Yeah? And lots of people just do a morning or an afternoon. There's no requirement for you to be there for days, a full day even.
Do I have to sign up to, police checks and other things like that to be a volunteer?
I think that's a good question, actually. I know in the workplace at the Living and Learning Centre you certainly do if you're a volunteer. I'm not sure about the option.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll help you navigate all of that.
Yes, I'd have to ask.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you do. I'm pretty sure you don't, although I do have a working with children.
Sure.
So I'm comfortable with that. But I don't think it's a prerequisite.
Okay. You have to be able to add up, though, Christine.
No, I don't do the counting.
No, fantastic. So would it be true to say, Kath, your experience with op shops, that getting enough volunteers is often often the crucial problem or the biggest challenge?
I think it probably is. I mean, we've all been to places, or perhaps we haven't all been, but you know, you go somewhere on holidays, you arrive on Tuesday and have to leave Wednesday, and have a guess what? The op shop's not open on Tuesday.
Yes.
It's very frustrating.
Yes, it is.
But that's just from a consumer point of view, or just a browser. And I think that was one of the things on the tour as well. A lot of the people, the feedback, said they just enjoyed the browsing and seeing what was there. Books, amazing. I mean, yes. We've got a fantastic bookshop in Healesville, so I wouldn't want to undercut them too much with Verso Books. But just, you know, browsing through books. Mm. And if you think of children's books, I mean, you know, they're practically in new condition.
Yes,
They don't get worn out. That's the thing about it. I think, there's just so much that can be, from a sustainability point of view, op shops just punch above their weight.
They sure do.
In my view. It's great.
Well, you've got the microphone, Kath. We've also seen huge changes with COVID lockdowns. We've mentioned lockdowns a few times, and I think we're all over that as well. But the rise of online shopping. So those sort of COVID lockdowns and restrictions and the trend towards online shopping, what impact has that had? Well, for any of our guests this morning, feel free. Christine or Shona or Kath, what's the impact on op shops, do you think, of those things?
I guess it's as much a social thing as anything else. But the reality is you can go to an op shop, you don't know what you'll find. You know, it's no good going to an op shop looking for a black dress with a red, you know, thing.
I'll cross that off my list, Kath.
Yeah, definitely. Although I wouldn't mind seeing it anyway. Yeah, you just go and you discover things. I had to put together a Kris Kringle. I needed a pâté knife. So that's been my aim for the last 3 weeks. I got one at Yarra Glen
the other day.
And it's beautiful, you know? And I didn't need to go online to.
I want some pâté over Christmas. I'll come to your place, Kath. Yeah. Let's have a, excuse me, listeners, let's have a listen to Elvis Presley with Blue Christmas.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red, Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. We are rapidly coming up to the 10 o'clock news. My very special guests here in the studio this morning, Shona, Christine and Kath. We've been talking op shops. If you've missed the program this morning, well, don't panic because it'll be podcast and on the Yarra Valley FM website in a week or so. Thank you very much, Greg. I want to just say a big thank you to each and every one of my guests that's been on the program this year. Thank you to every one of you that's listening this morning. We've had some amazing groups, some amazing discussions, and wow, just really, it's been an absolutely great year. Thank you, Cora, for your technical expertise, to Greg for your leadership as president of Yarra Valley FM, and to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia for supporting us. Obviously, we're going, well, next year we're going to be in a new studio right down next to the Lion's Den Op Shop in Lilydale Road, and we are having a grand opening. It's going to be at 3 p.m. on the 3rd of the 3rd. That's 3 on 3 on 3 of 2023. Put it in your diary. It's open to anybody in the community, and we hope we will see you there for the cutting of the ribbon and the cake or something. Meanwhile, we continue on. This is my last program for the year. Thank you so much, Shona, Christine and Kath, for coming in this morning and enlightening us on op shops. We're going to finish by just giving a couple of contact numbers. The big one that I found was actually, if you want to search for an op shop anywhere you are, you can go on to www.opshop.org, and all of the op shops that we've been talking about this morning and a whole lot of others besides are all listed on there. You can search any one of the 2,500 op shops that are in Australia on that website, which is absolutely amazing. Shona, how do people contact Healesville Living and Learning Centre op shop if they want to get involved?
You can call the main Healesville Living and Learning Centre number on 5962 5982.
Fantastic. And sign up as a volunteer or donate some goods. Don't throw out things that have a saleable value, as Kath's warning us after Christmas. Think about your local op shop. And Christine, for the Lion's Den in your new location in Lilydale Road.
Yes, we have a mobile phone number there, and it's 0433 530 436.
Fantastic.
Thank you, and looking forward to seeing you next year.
Fantastic. And Kath, thank you for all the work you did in bringing the op shop tours to life this last year. And thank you to the Regional Community Recovery Committee and Yarra Rangers Council for their support for that. That was just been a wonderful, wonderful experience, hasn't it?
It has been, and I think it was very successful in meeting the goals, which was really to get the community out and about again, and also promote the sustainability model. So the Living Learning Centre, that's a big part of what they do. It was great to work with them as a volunteer as well. It was
terrific.
Great.
Fantastic. Listeners, that's us for 2022. Well, it's me anyway. Thank you for being loyal listeners this year, and have a wonderful Christmas and New Year and a happy and healthy 2023. We're going to go out today with, well, we're going to go straight to the news. I'm looking right now. So there we go.